Coming up, it's the GoPro Hero 2, the Pantech Swift, a brand new convertible tablet from Lenovo, and a whole bunch of swag from Google I.O., including Google's first tablet. Before You Buy is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, Twit's product review show, where we get great stuff in studio and we ask our staff to take a look, to play with it, to use it in real-world situations, and give us their buy, try, or don't buy recommendations. We're going to start off with Ayaz Akhtar. He's getting ready for our new show, Know How, and one of the first episodes we're going to do is how to roll your own cloud service. He's got a look at the latest Pogo. Ayaz?
I'm Ayaz Akhtar with Twit, and this is effectively the cloud in my hand. This is the Pogo plug device. This is Series 4. Now, what it effectively is a little server that you can attach a hard drive to, an SD card to, and you can access your files anywhere on the web or on your own home network. It's pretty simple. A lot of ports on this. Two USB 3.0 ports. Here's your Ethernet power SD card slot. But that's not all. You can take off the cover easily. And we have a USB 2.0 port, so you can do a lot of things. This is actually a 2.5-inch SATA connector, and you can connect all kinds of drives to this. Really simple, very easy. Let's actually set it up and show you how it works. Pretty easy to set up. Hook up your Ethernet, hook up your hard drive, and your power. Let's wait for the flashing. Once you've hooked up a drive to the Pogo plug, whatever files are on this drive are accessible on the web for you. When you set up the Pogo plug, you're going to have a username and password. It's a free account. You even get 5 gigabytes of cloud storage from Pogo plug if you want to use it. But don't forget, you're using your own hard drive as your storage space. And if you look at the web interface, it's really simple. Now, you can see your file structure here, and Pogo plug actually indexes your files. So if you want to look at your music files, regardless of folder, it will find it for you. And there's your photos and your movies, and it's all set. I'm going to see a movie when I go to my Video Test World folder, which I quite enjoy, and let's watch some Godfather, because I like The Godfather. And there you can see Godfather Part 2 starting up. This is my MP4 file and streaming through the web. Now, don't forget something. You will be limited by your upload speed of your ISP, so that might be something you might be concerned about. What's kind of nice, though, is you can scrub around, and usually it works quite well. Here we go. Additionally, Pogo Plug makes available for free an Android app, an iOS app for both iPhone and iPad. We're going to take a look at the iPad app. Again, it's very familiar. You have files, music, photos. You can search. Let's go to files. Look at my Pogo Plug. I like to listen to some music, which actually I have some music in here. Then Crooked Vultures. Well, let's listen to some Dead End Friends. Plays immediately. Now, there's no playlist management in here, but it's just pretty much your files. When you set up the application on your device, your Android or iOS device, you can set it up so you can upload your photos automatically to your Pogo plug. So it's kind of like PhotoStream or Dropbox, but right to your drive at home. For the pros, really simple setup. It's almost idiot-proof. The web interface is fantastic, and the apps are simple. And this little box has lots of connectivity options. On the con side, transcoding video could be faster, but then again, this is not exactly a super-duper computer, and there's no onboard storage. So is the Pogo Plug Series 4 a try, buy, or don't buy? It's definitely a buy. It's one of the easiest options we've seen for setting up your own cloud. If you want to know more about how to set up your own cloud, check out Twit's new show called Know How, starring myself, Ayaz Akhtar, and Leo Laporte, coming up on Twit. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, and this is the Pogo Plug.
Thank you, Ayaz. As I mentioned, we'll get a full look at how the Pogo Plug 2 works in our Know How show. I think it's episode 1 of Know How, which will debut in just a couple of weeks. Now, this thing has been hard to get off the table. It's got a great suction cup. I am very excited about the GoPro cameras. This is their newest, the Hero 2. I'm thinking about taking it to Australia. We're going to the Great Barrier Reef. I want an underwater camera, something that I can do some extreme sports with. Brian Burnett took it out for a spin.
Thanks, Leo. And I took the GoPro for a little spin around Northern California, but let me get rid of the passengers and my gear real quick.
Hi, I'm Brian Burnett from Twit, here to review the GoPro Hero 2. This is a small, compact camera that you can fit in a lot of different areas, And for me, I used my motorcycle. And I'll show you some of the footage in just a sec. But let me tell you about this camera. This is the Hero 2 Motorsport Edition. So what that means is it comes with the waterproof casing and suction cup mount, which works really well on flat, clean surfaces, painted preferably. I was able to stick it on the side of my fairing, on my gas tank, and the suction cup holds on really well. So this little camera does come with some compromises, but it delivers a big picture. This is an HD camera. It runs at 1080p, 30 frames per second. You can do 960p, 720p. This camera also came bundled with the Wi-Fi backpack and wireless remote. So that lets you set up your camera, walk away. You can either change the mode from video, still shots, timed shots. So this camera is advertised as an extreme sport camera. It's made to take a tumble if need be. It's got this protective case around it, and it's also waterproof. I do own the original GoPro Hero, and I did some comparison testing, and the video with the new Hero 2 is really crisp and clear. Looks great. The old one wasn't bad either, but you can really tell the difference in this video here, side by side. During daytime, the new Hero 2 is really sharp, really crisp, a little bit better color saturation than the previous Hero. The previous Hero had a 5 megapixel camera sensor. The new Hero 2 has an 11 megapixel sensor. So it really does a great job even just for wide angle still shots. And the wide angle lens on this goes up to 170 degrees, so you can really get a huge field of view when you're doing all sorts of different sporting activities. So I'll show you some of the footage that I got with the GoPro here, not too far from the Twit Brick House, out towards the coast. One of my favorite things to do. And also, you can use this camera for underwater stuff. I know Leo mentioned he wanted to use one for his swimming trip, and that would work great because it does have the waterproof case, but you also have to make sure to buy a different lens for it, because if you take it underwater, it won't be focused unless you have the flat underwater lens for it. There's a head strap mount that you can use if you're going out hiking or biking, or you just want a point of view from your head. So one of the other things I used this camera for was a time lapse during one of the TNT shows. Set it up by the set, you can see Tom and Iez doing their thing, and Jason reaching around on the TriCaster frantically in this stop motion that I did using the GoPro. All right, so now onto battery life. This comes with a rechargeable USB cable. It's got a lithium-ion battery in the back, 1100 milliamp battery that you can take out the back and replace if you have extras, which I would recommend because at 1080p, I was getting about 3 hours of recording time. And if you have a 16 gigabyte or even a 32 gigabyte SD card, you're not gonna fill up that card before the battery dies out. So it's good to maybe get a couple of extra batteries. There are a ton of accessories. It's almost like an Apple product. There's a lot of different things that you may need that don't come in the basic package. There's a viewfinder, there's different kind of mounts. There's even a 3D case. If you had two GoPros, you can put them together and get a 3D view. They're really versatile cameras, but that will cost you extra. This Motorsport Edition camera by itself with the mounting accessories is $299.99 on the GoPro website. It can be found on Amazon for $265, which is a pretty good deal. And the Wi-Fi wireless remote combo kit that came with this review unit is an extra $99 on top of that. But what you get with the Wi-Fi attachment is the separate remote, which you can change the menu settings with, which came in really handy when I had this camera set on the swing arm of my motorcycle, because I could have the remote on my handlebar, press the button, start recording without having to stop riding, pull over to the side of the road and hit the button. What is also offered, but isn't out yet, is Android and iOS app for this, which would allow you to use your cell phone as a viewfinder. All right, so the pros of this camera. The video is outstanding. 1080, 720, you have different view angles that you can set this camera to, and they all look terrific. These cameras are really tough and tiny, and you can put them in all kinds of different places. Another pro is all the different hardware mounts you get. You get the suction cup with this kit, you get sticky mounts, you get little hinges and pivots so you can angle in different ways, and you get all sorts of cool camera shots that you typically wouldn't be able to get with a normal size camera. So for the cons for this camera, there's no viewfinder, and the menu screen is on the front of the camera to if you're trying to access that. The other con is the menu system itself. It's a single button push to select, and if you go past the mode that you want to select, you'll have to go all the way through the menu system again to get back to that. So once you get the hang of it, it's not too much of a problem, but it can be a little tricky when you're first learning how to navigate the system. So buy, try, or don't buy. This is a definite buy for me. And even if you're upgrading from the old Hero camera, your mounts will fit this one. They're both compatible. And the video is worth it enough for the upgrade. Well, thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed a little look into the outside of the Brick House. And see you next time on Before You Buy.
That's Brian Burnett, our technical director for the show, one of the great editors here at the Twit Brick House. This looks like a really sweet product. Now, I'm going to take a look at a couple of little objects. I mean, really little. This is the Pantech Swift. Look at this. It reminds me a little bit of a Sidekick with the slider keyboard and all of that. and it's very durable. Nicole Lee has the review.
I'm Nicole Lee from Twit and Before You Buy, and this is my review of the Pantech Swift for AT&T. The Pantech Swift is a very basic feature phone for AT&T. It's a very basic messaging phone. Pantech makes a lot of these very simple messaging phones, and this is its latest iteration. As you can see here, the Swift is a very basic looking phone. It's around 0.6 inch thick. It's around 6.3 ounces, so it's a little bit bulky as far as messaging phones go, but it does have a full slide-out QWERTY keyboard for all you texting fans out there. The keyboard itself was pretty good as far as messaging phones go. The keys are a little bit raised above the surface and very separated from each other, so it's easy to text by feel. On the front here is a 2.8 inch capacitive touchscreen, which is good for a feature phone. The resolution isn't the best. It's around 320 by 240, but it's still pretty good, as I said, for a feature phone. I would definitely try to use the physical keyboard for texting and not the virtual keyboard, just because the virtual keyboard is a little bit sluggish, in my opinion. As far as UI goes, you get a Pantech proprietary user interface. You get up to three customizable home screens, which you can add drag and drop, shortcuts, and apps. That kind of thing. Underneath the screen here, you do get shortcuts to the dialer, the messaging app, and so forth. On the back of the phone is a 2-megapixel camera. On the side here, you do get the power button as well as the volume rocker. On the top here is the headset jack. And on the bottom here is a physical home button. As far as memory goes, you don't get a lot with this phone. You do get a 185 megabytes of internal memory, but you do get a micro SD card slot, which you can add up to 64 gigabytes of additional storage. The Pantech Swift is not very swift. It only has around a 600 megahertz processor, which means it's a little bit sluggish, especially when swiping around and when taking pictures, especially. Speaking of taking pictures, the 2-megapixel camera here, not the greatest. Very poor quality, I feel, and the shutter speed is quite slow as well. As far as apps go, you won't get too many apps with a simple feature phone like this. You do get some email options with Hotmail, Gmail, and so forth. You also get a very simple Opera mini browser that you can surf the web with. However, it doesn't have any Wi-Fi, so to surf the web and to access email and all that, you do need to get a data plan, which kind of defeats the purpose of a very simple feature phone like this. Now to the pros and cons of the Pantech Swift. The pros are that it's a very nice, compact size, very easy to fit in your pocket or bag. The keyboard is pretty cool. All you need to do is just slide it up to get to the keyboard, a nice angled form factor for easy texting. So I like that as well. Now to the cons of this phone. The camera isn't the greatest quality in the world, and the performance is a little bit sluggish. On the whole, while I do think the Pantech Swift is a decent feature phone for AT&T, I do think there are better options from AT&T. If you want a very simple messaging phone, there are cheaper ones. If you want a full-fledged touchscreen phone with a full QWERTY keyboard, there are better options. And if you want a phone with a data connection, might as well get a smartphone. So in my opinion, it's a don't buy.
Thank you, Nicole. Once again, we're seeing inexpensive or relatively inexpensive phones, smartphones. But I have to think it's a false economy. You get so little hardware, you don't save that much money. Because remember, the real cost of these things is the monthly data plan, and you don't save on that. All right, now it's time to take a look at a new Lenovo laptop. This is part of the X Series. Alex Gumpel, our Windows expert, is here.
Hi,
you
Leo.
Like that, Mr. Flowmaster, our Windows expert.
Yeah, if that's what you want to call me, sure.
Actually, you brought this over a couple of days ago with Windows 8
yes,
running on it.
Yes, so
it's a touch.
Right,
well, go ahead,
so,
show
well,
us.
So for, well, first of all, so it's a ThinkPad, and I'm the big ThinkPad user at Twit here.
Love
so
ThinkPads.
I've got, my desk is full of them.
I was so really happy that Lenovo, when they acquired this from IBM, kept the ThinkPad quality.
Right. I love the design of ThinkPads. It's you know the edges and just the and the finish of it, the kind of rubberized plastic, and it's very durable. So I'm just a really big
and
fan
you,
of ThinkPad
you,
designs.
Like a lot of ThinkPad users, like the little nub,
yes,
on
I
the keyboard
really
that they
like
use.
Nub.
It still has a trackpad, too,
right,
doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
So, and I think Lenovo's have always had historically the best laptop keyboards
yes,
out there.
So the keyboard on this is really good. It's an island-style keyboard, though. The traditional ThinkPad keyboards were the regular old kind.
So they've
this
kind
has
of
been updated. This is what's going to be on all the Lenovo lines from now
that's
on.
That's too bad. And this is the standard in every other
right,
manufacturer's
now all the new
laptop
the new
keyboard.
T-Series are all getting this.
Yeah.
For an island-style, it's still really good. The keys have good travel. They're kind of curved a little bit and shaped, so it does have a nice feel. And I do approve of it.
A couple of things that intrigue me about this. First of all, what is this bump on the top of the laptop?
That might be the 3G antenna, but I'm
so
not
this
actually
has 3G,
sure.
Huh?
It has a slot for a SIM card, so if you have one, you can put it in and you have 3G connectivity.
So this is truly mobile.
Right.
But this is part of their X Series, and that means it's
right.
a convertible.
No, actually, X Series is the kind of smaller, almost netbook or higher than
oh,
netbook,
okay.
actually.
So not all the X Series are convertible.
No,
but this one is.
This is the one convertible. So it's the X Series 230T, T for tablet or something. So the screen flips around and then it becomes a tablet.
Kind of a bulky tablet. Is this the extended life battery?
I believe so.
So you could have a smaller battery
right,
on
but
there?
However, the extended life battery does actually benefit because it's kind of contoured here. So when you hold it, you can kind of put your fingers there and actually makes a good grip. So it's very nice. It has a good feel when you're holding it.
Let's
so
not imply it's light or
no,
slim.
No, it's not a really...
it's a kind of a beast.
Right. It's a clunky tablet, but it's, you know, for doing your lab work or whatever and taking notes.
Well, and this does support the legacy things like this is a VGA
right,
port. You
VGA
don't see those nowadays very much. It has some interesting ports.
DisplayPort.
That's DisplayPort.
It's an Ivy Bridge processor, so it's got USB 3.
USB 3. I love that. What is this switch? Is that the
Honor? That turns off the wireless antennas.
Okay, so you can, and this is often something that they want for a government and business. No Wi-Fi, sometimes not
right.
allowed.
So you have a hard
it's a physical switch.
Yeah.
You can show the guy at the door, look, it's turned off.
Right.
And then over on this side, we've got Ethernet. Mm-hmm. Anybody who just bought a new MacBook Retina will be happy to see that. SD card slot.
Yep.
And another USB port.
Right. Then over here, before the tablet,
stylus.
You got the stylus, which is actually a very nice stylus. It's got pressure sensitivity. So if you're dealing with Photoshop, for instance, you can, like, depending on how heavy you're pressing on it, it'll be either a light drawing or heavy or brush stroke.
I notice also for business, it's got a...
It's got a fingerprint reader.
Yep, that's
so
important. Let's turn it on. Can we see it?
Well, no. And I'll tell you why. I don't want to turn it on to risk it breaking. So one thing that...
Wait a minute. You don't want to turn it on?
Let me explain. So one thing that ThinkPads have that we tested out with this, that we have B-roll of, is they have drainage channels in the keyboard.
Yeah.
So if you spill something on it,
it's supposed to
the liquid
drain it right
drains
off.
Through and underneath.
Yeah.
However,
in fact, here's a.
It's still
this is the crazy thing.
Yeah,
I saw you guys lurking out back in the alley with a pitcher. I thought you were making Kool-Aid. No! No!
So, although that was successful and it did get through and didn't get anything wet, it still recommended you let it dry out before using it. So I just don't want to turn it on and risk
it. Is the water coming out the bottom there?
It comes out the bottom. There's two holes on the bottom that that it all just drains through.
You didn't liquipel this before
no,
you...
No, we did not liquipel it.
Thank God.
Yeah, they were
wow, that's really amazing. So we won't turn it on, but
so
we're going to presume that it did survive. It's
right.
designed
and,
to handle
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so there's a hole there and
look
a hole there where water would come out.
I have never heard of that. Wow.
So this now, it's a feature of actually most ThinkPads, so it's been around for a while.
This comes with Windows 7, obviously.
Comes with Windows 7, yes.
And it's Ivy Bridge, so it's a fast i5
right.
or i7
it's
processor?
No, this is an i5.
i5.
It might be available in i7, but this particular one is an i5.
And how much RAM, how is it configured?
This one, I believe, is 4 gigs of RAM, but it can go up to 16.
The reason I ask is because you showed me Windows 8 running on it.
Right.
And I was very impressed.
Right. So just for kicks, I decided to put Windows 8 on just because it's... Oh, and that's the other thing is the tablet's also a touchscreen. Mm. So that's what I wanted to try Windows 8 on because I've never actually played with it on
right.
a touchscreen.
Right. And I have to say, Windows 8 on a touchscreen really makes a lot
right.
more sense.
However, this touchscreen only has two touch points, while Windows 8 devices will require
10.
Four or five
yeah.
touch points,
yeah.
I think.
For touch,
for minimum.
Multi-touch,
so
you really
typing
want 10.
On the on-screen keyboard is not right. really good with just two okay. touch points. However, it's still fun to play within the swipes and all the gestures work.
12.5-inch IPS display. I like mm-hmm. the in-plane switching displays.
Yes,
that's the
very
best,
nice display.
I think,
you can
for
see
LCD.
It all angles.
Yep. It's 3.7 pounds, not with the extended battery, with
right,
the regular battery
right.
on it. Not bad. The stylus is pressure sensitive. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And it's also the red tip of it on the other side acts as an eraser for most software. So either in Photoshop or if you're on OneNote or something, if you're taking notes and you screw up, you can just turn around and then you
wow, the that's a cool. Now, what kind of battery life are you getting with the extended battery?
I'm getting at least 5 hours.
Well, that's great.
On light normal use.
Right.
Now, if it was doing heavy processing, then it was probably less than
here's,
that.
Here's, I think, the pleasant surprise. What is the price on this?
Price is about $1,200.
I think that's very, very
right.
good.
That's Lenovo's web price, so that's they have it actually listed as almost $2,000 on the web, but with like cut down, and this is the web price you can buy it at. So I'm not actually sure what it would be at other retailers.
Remember, the MacBook Retina, which also is Ivy Bridge and
right.
i5, is $1,000
right.
more.
But those so are Macs. They're always
you get
expensive.
An awful lot of
yes,
power.
Right. It is a really good deal for this.
$1,200, yeah. So, give us the pros and cons.
So, pros, like I said, is a really excellent keyboard. It's also backlit, which is...
I love that. I think, you know, because I get in bed and I want to be able
right.
to...
Right. ThinkPads in the past have actually had what they call the ThinkLight, which is a little light that's up on the monitor that shines down on the keyboard to light it up. But this they're now replacing that with
backlit keyboards. Do you like this better?
You can see it much better. Although the backlight did come in, or the ThinkLight did come in handy for, like, seeing papers and stuff in the
reading.
Dark.
Yeah.
But this is better. It's like I said, it's also the robust ThinkPad design. That's
it feels kind of, solid. It really does feel solid.
You can
solid.
Kind of bang it around; it'll still
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
It'll get scuffed, but it'll work.
And you can get it wet, apparently.
Right, and I believe it's got a magnesium chassis. That's what ThinkPads usually have. So I believe this also has that.
That gives it good structural stability.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the stylus is a very high quality stylus. It's good for drawing and stuff with the eraser and the sensitivity.
I could tell you. Let's look at the negatives. One negative already. This thing,
right.
even as you're holding it,
so
is wobbling.
I used to have a convertible tablet that was the same kind of
that's the,
thing
that's
as this.
The cost,
and that's the cost,
yep.
is that because it's just on that one hinge there,
right.
it's just kind of, you know, it's wobbly.
Right. Anything else you didn't like about it?
The trackpad. Now, Windows has never been great at trackpads, and this is no exception to that. It's got the integrated buttons on it, so you know, it's a click pad.
What, is there a middle button? Is that what that is?
These are the buttons for the nub. So that is the middle click for the nub.
Okay.
For the click pad, it's
you just click
there's
this.
A left and right
got
click
it.
There.
So if you're using the nub,
if you're using
the
nub,
these
use
three.
That. But the click pad itself, I do not like at all. It's way too small for.
Does it support gestures and
for doing that? It's got the tube thing for the scrolling
right.
and stuff.
Right.
But it's clunky. It's what you expect from Windows 7 kind of
not
ideal.
Pads. But a lot of people buy ThinkPads really
right.
buy them because
that's one
of
reason
that
I like ThinkPads is
yeah.
is because of that, and then you don't have to use this.
Right. Right.
And it gives you much more precision control.
Absolutely. So
it's kind of heavy and clunky for a tablet.
Yeah, well, that's what you expect when you get a ThinkPad. This
right.
is robust.
Yeah, it's not your sleek iPad. It's,
no.
it's supposed to be a...
And it's got protrusion. It's, you know, it's the Death Star.
Right. But, if holding it like a tablet, you know, doing the... If you open it up and...
This is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I've had convertibles for some years, and that's kind of a neat way to turn a laptop into a...
Like
a tablet.
If you hold it up to you and with your right hand underneath, or left, I'm sorry, left
I'm
arm
a lefty.
Underneath.
I'm a lefty, so I'm going to do it like
then
this.
That may not work.
I get no benefit from this fabulous.
Well, maybe do that.
Okay, there you go. I
so
see.
So you got your fingers
and
gripped
so this
there.
Is a groove,
so
and it's rubberized so that you
it's heavy, but it is comfortable to hold that
and
way and then just kind of take notes and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. And a lot of vertical markets, medicine,
right.
factory floor, that's exactly
right.
what they're looking for. The Lenovo ThinkPad X?
X230T. There is an X230 that is not a convertible, and that doesn't have, and the convertible one has the T at the end.
Ranges in price from $1,200 to $2,000, but shop online, you'll
you
be able to get
it. If you go to Lenovo's website, you get the $1,200, and maybe other retailers might have a good deal, too.
Try, buy?
If you can afford it, buy. It's... as a primary laptop, I wouldn't get it myself, but as a secondary one, it would be very nice to have if I could afford
Why
it.
Why not primary?
It's smaller.
You want a bigger screen. I prefer a bigger screen.
Yeah. If you can live with a 12.5-inch screen as your main thing, then that'll work.
What's the native resolution on this? Do you know off the top of
it? I think it's the 1366 by 768.
Okay. So it's not super high res.
No.
Yeah. Alex Kumpel, he is the flow master, the man in charge of the workflow here at the Twick Brick House, and also gets nominated for a lot of Windows phone reviews and Windows reviews because he actually likes Windows.
I know. It's weird.
That's not weird. What's weird is that you collect old Macs and you use Windows.
I would like it into that.
That's weird.
I'll review those later.
That's weird. All right. Thank you, Alex. Yep. We got one more thing to do, and I'm excited about this. As you might know, Google had its big developers conference, Google I.O., this week in San Francisco at Moscone Center. And the All About Android team went down there. Ron Richards, Eileen Rivera, and our own Jason Howell. Jason, of course, produces TNT. And he went down to Google I.O., sat through all the keynotes, like most developers, for one reason and one reason only. The swag bag. Oh, my goodness, was Google generous this time. It started with a Galaxy Nexus phone. That's worth about $600 or $700. It's the unlocked phone they sell on the website. Nice phone, not my favorite. Probably not something you really needed.
Well, and not to mention I'm on Verizon, so it doesn't really do me a whole lot of good.
It's a GSM phone. But then they announced that they were going to give everybody this Nexus 7, Google's first branded tablet. That's pretty exciting. We'll talk about that in a second. They also gave you this. Now, this is the most valuable item they gave you, the $300 Q.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow.
It's an interesting kind of like social media player.
Can I open it? Do you mind?
Absolutely. Go for it.
We're not going to give you
even open this thing yet.
We're not going to give you a review yet. Gosh, I hate to open your Q.
No, do it. Go for it. I'm curious.
It's going to reduce it in value immediately. You won't unlocked in the box. Do you have a knife, John? You can... They've sealed it in pretty well.
They have. We could use probably a key.
John's coming. I like to make John run.
All right.
Thank you, John. Good Lord.
Yeah.
John, you planning to kill some small animals?
I think that's a sign that John doesn't like the Q.
Yeah.
Giving you a big knife.
Well, what do you think of the Q? The idea of $300... kind of Sonos killer is a little strange.
Well, it is strange, especially because there's the whole Google TV thing that it's kind of up next to, and it's hard to think of one and not think of the other, almost in the same way that you think of like Chrome OS versus Android, and there's like a strange line between the two, and you're like, okay, I kind of get it, but I don't entirely. That's how I feel about this in Google TV. It's almost like they should have lumped this technology into Google TV somehow. Maybe that's their plan ultimately, but right now it just kind of sits alone as this very kind of, you know, few uses for this thing, and they all require, you know, everybody to be on Android, everybody to be on
Jelly Bean, in fact, to
share the music.
You can't use this unless you have an Android device, either a Nexus 7 or an Android phone. It doesn't do anything by itself.
Right, right. And you actually do need Jelly Bean. So right now, the only device that you could even use to operate is the 7, unless you've flashed a Jelly Bean ROM, which they're already out there.
So like the Sonos Connect, the idea of this is you put an Ethernet in here, I'm sure it has Wi-Fi. Yeah. And then you connect it to your Wi-Fi network, and you can stream, not store, but stream movies or TV shows from Google Play, stream music from your Google Music. And
I mean, it's meant to be interacting with your Google Play account specifically.
Streamer.
When you have it loaded up on your tablet and you're controlling it from there, all you're doing is sending the Wi-Fi signal to there for it to actually go to Google Play through its Wi-Fi or through its Ethernet and actually grab that content down to the device.
Like the Apple TV, it has some flash storage, but it's really for caching, not for storage.
Yeah, I believe it has...
I think 16 gigs.
16 gigs, which is not too bad.
Now, what's a couple of things that I think are a little strange on the back here. First of all, it has a 25-watt amp in it, so you could drive bookshelf speakers, not big speakers.
Right.
And these are banana plug connectors, so these are very unusual in the U.S. Internationally, it's much more common to see a banana plug. But audiophiles will have them, and I was wondering if they'd include banana plugs in the box, because you actually have to go out and buy some. No, in fact, all that's included in the box looks like a power cable.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got this all connected, like I said, one thing that kind of scared me a little bit when I saw it being demonstrated was how many cables you had protruding out of the back.
It looks like Cthulhu.
It would be very easy to kind of topple over, but it's very heavy.
It looks like, I mean, it's got a beard. So here's left and right speakers. It looks like you could power, I don't know what the four the middle connections are for?
Well, I think it's, is it your two speaker cables per side?
Oh, that's it. Oh, I get it. Yeah, sure.
Ethernet.
And then one of the weird things, it has a micro HDMI, not a standard HDMI, so mm-hmm. you're going to have to go out and get another HDMI cable if you want to connect this to the TV.
Yeah.
So $300, kind of an oddball device.
It is, but, I mean, you have to admit the design on it.
It's beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
And what you're not seeing is that these LEDs, there's 29 LEDs in here, and they light up and they dance. It's a dancing orb.
It's just hard to think of this as worth it at $300 right now.
Right.
Like I'm kind of hoping that somewhere down the line, maybe if Google is invested in this, they bring more functionality to it.
Right.
But again, we get back to that strange blurry line between the functionality of Google TV and the functionality of this. But the social sharing jukebox functionality of that is kind of cool. The problem there again is you need to be on Android, and you need to have a lot of people on Android.
Everybody Jellybean, has to be on Jellybean
in order to participate.
See, I didn't realize that. That kind of shocks me. You all have to be using Jellybean.
For now.
All right, so that's the Google Q.
Mm-hmm.
You also got, we don't have to go into great detail.
Yeah, I literally just got this before hopping in the car here, but this is the new Samsung Chromebox. They really didn't even go into much detail on
this. It looks like a Mac Mini, but it's running the new, and this will be interesting, Chrome OS
mm-hmm.
that is windowing instead of just being a browser on
it. Yeah, and I'm personally not too familiar with Chrome OS. I played around with it a little bit. We should find someone who's very versed in Chrome OS. Well, there you go.
I can't imagine who that
would be. I don't know who that would be.
I'll play with it.
Yes, play with it.
I'm going to give it all back to you. The thing that was, of course, the big crowd pleaser and the thing everybody's interested in is this 7-inch tablet.
Yeah.
Everybody, we saw Galaxy 7 a year ago, more than a year ago, and I really liked the form factor. I thought it was a really good size for an airplane or for driving in the car. Amazon has done quite well with a very similar form factor.
Yes.
This is a Kindle Fire, and I think a lot of people think this is a fire killer. It's aimed at the Kindle Fire.
Absolutely, it is. I mean, Google spent a lot of time in the presentation with this, kind of pointing out improvements to the Play Store in ways to where you can now buy movies, you can buy magazines.
Even the UI reminds me of Fire. It's got a big images of books
and
magazines. I mean, it's very fiery, but it is Android. I mean, if you touch the apps, you'll see. And this is Jelly Bean, right?
Yep, it is running Jelly Bean.
What's new about Jelly Bean?
Well, just a lot of, I would say Jelly Bean's more or less an incremental update, but it really kind of refines a lot of the promises that Ice Cream Sandwich had brought forward as far as like enhancing the UI. It really makes things a lot more fluid and smooth when you're using the UI and going through apps and browsing the web. It's just a much more graphically fluid experience.
Yeah, and of course, this has one of the first devices used, the Tegra 3, mm-hmm. which is a massive system on a chip. It's got very fast ARM processor, quad core, I believe.
Yep,
ARM
it's
processor.
A quad core 1.3 gigahertz.
16 graphic core. So one of the things people didn't like about the Fire was its hesitation when you tapped icons or you slid it. This doesn't seem to have any.
No, it really doesn't.
It feels very, very fluid.
Yeah, I was really enjoying playing with it. The display, as you said earlier, is very nice.
It's IPS, right?
It is a full IPS display. It's 1280 by 800, which actually beats the resolution of the Kindle Fire, and you see it almost immediately when you're looking at it. My only complaint with the display is that it's maybe a little dark at full brightness when you're in a very bright room.
Well, I want to try it because one of the few things people want to know, of course, the Kindle, not the Fire, but the regular Kindle is great in sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
If this is going to succeed, it's going to be the kind of thing you might want to bring to the beach and read. Can we just go out? I'm just going to go outside. You don't mind.
Oh,
and,
no.
And we're just going to see how this looks. We'll just go out to the outside here, and I'm going to it comes bundled with Robert Ludlum, the Bourne Identity. Can you see me out here? You can see me all right? Well, you know, I'm not in bright sunlight, but it's fine. I think it's actually surprisingly good. You said it was dim, Jason, and it is a little dimmer than you might expect. But actually, that's pretty legible. In bright sunlight, it might be a little bit more difficult to read, but I don't have any trouble here just in the daylight.
And it very well could have been where I was sitting when I was playing around with it, where I had the sun pouring right on me. And
that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
But even here where we have studio lights on it, it's pretty legible. So that's kind of an impressive device. What's most impressive is the price. Google says we're not making any money on it.
Yeah, they've said they're not even really taking a loss, although maybe they are, but pretty much they're just passing it through. They're selling it through the Play Store. I believe it's $200 for the 8-gig version, $250 for the 16-gig version, no SD card slot, and that's going to turn some people off.
There's no extra storage.
No extra storage. So you get what you pay for. You get what you get at the beginning, so I'd probably recommend just buying the $250 version.
And of course, most of the time when you're streaming, when you're watching video or TV on here, it is streaming. It's not stored. So really, the only storage you need is for apps. And
yeah, well,
maybe
and
music.
You can pin it for offline viewing, right, and enjoyment that way. Absolutely, and they would definitely tout that as one of the big features of the Play Store in general, is that you can pin those movies to the device, so when you're on an airplane without connectivity, you can still watch your movies.
Now, they said it came with Transformers.
Came with Transformers.
Is it on here? Can I play it?
I haven't downloaded it yet. The Wi-Fi at the convention center wasn't that great. It wasn't allowing me to do a whole lot. So.
I want to watch a movie.
but yeah, I've talked to some people who downloaded it, and they said it looks fantastic.
It looks pretty
on the
good
device. I mean, right, overall, really, it's kind of a no-brainer. If you're in the market for a $200 tablet, I can't think of a better one. Kindle Fire was...
This
kind
beats
of
it.
The $200 price point, this blows it out of the water. The hardware is just fantastic. And not having to deal with a forked version of Android and getting the true Android experience with Jelly Bean on it is just, I mean, it's worth it right there.
I'm not going to make you buy, try, or don't buy on this, but I know we'll see a full review on All About Android.
Yep.
I don't know if you have time to do it.
I would love to do a full review
of
this.
By the next episode, and maybe come back on Before You Buy. No slots on this. It is a micro USB for charging.
And MHL, by the way.
Oh, it has MHL out of the micro USB?
MHL out of
micro
USB.
Now, that's kind of interesting. We're going to see more and more MHL devices that's powered for things like, for instance, the Roku Stick, which is an MHL device, but you'd have to have a special adapter to go from USB to
I actually,
HDMI.
Well, and actually Jelly Bean also brings with it the ability to do a lot of enhanced audio functionality. So I saw some really cool hardware that proves that, where you can plug it into the USB and it plugs into an alarm clock. Check out this next episode on this upcoming Tuesday of All About Android. We're going to have Jason Applebaum showing off that technology.
I have to say the video is very smooth, looks great. This, because it's a high def screen, it's a 720p screen, you should be able to get a great looking video out of this. And one more thing we want to try is the camera.
Oh, yeah. I have not played around with the front-facing camera because there is no camera app, probably because
there's no
rear-facing camera. I don't have Skype on there.
How are we supposed to use it?
I know. I guess we could go into Google Plus and do a Hangout.
Of course. That's exactly what they want you to
do
is a Hangout.
Exactly.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah. But, everything that I've heard about the front-facing camera, I mean, it's 1.2 megapixels. You're not using it for super quality necessarily. You're just using it to conference call and stuff.
So how do I start a Hangout in here? Do you know?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, you know, I tried to do it. I can't. I tried to do it on their iOS app, and I couldn't. It was in there, but it was like 18 layers.
Yeah.
So there it is. This is probably the most interesting thing Google announced. This is kind of intriguing, but as I said yesterday when we saw it, I think that's dead on arrival. I don't see that.
It's
going
pretty
anywhere.
Expensive for what you get. Yeah,
$300. Mm.
But they did actually point out during the conference, during the keynote, that they wanted to encourage general hackability with it.
Well, that's interesting.
Through the connections in the back. So I'll be very curious to see what the hack community does, given that they've been granted the right to do that.
Put Boxy Box on there, and I might be interested.
There you go.
Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern time, right?
That's the new 5
time?
PM
are you still
Pacific.
At 5?
Yes,
okay.
Still
5
at
5. 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 That's p.m.
Right.
Eastern time. That would be 2400, right at midnight, UTC. All About Android. We'll hear more about this from Jason and Eileen and Ron, all of whom will have a chance to play with theirs. Thank you I know you rushed back. You're
That's
missing
okay.
a party.
I'm happy to do it.
I am really grateful because I think it was really important for us to get
Absolutely.
At least a first look of the new Nexus 7 on Before You Buy and all this other swag.
You bet.
Hey, you get to keep it. What the hell?
No, hey.
That's all right.
It needed
That's
to be
okay.
on this week's
hey,
episode.
All right. Thank you. Jason Howell, he is the producer of TNT. He'll be back tomorrow, I presume, for
yep,
TNT.
I'll be
you're going down
tomorrow.
To Google I.O.? No? You're
not
done?
Tomorrow. No.
All right.
I've had my Google I.O.
Okay,
experience.
Tuesday, 5 o'clock for All About Android. Hey, thanks for joining us. I want to thank all our reviewers, Nicole Lee and Brian Burnett and Alex Gumpel and Iaz Akhtar and, of course, Jason Howell. We had a product-laden show today. I hope you enjoyed Before You Buy. You can catch all the reviews chopped up into individual segments on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/twit. We're going to have our Before You Buy channel on YouTube very soon, so stay tuned for that. But if you continue to go to youtube.com/twit, you'll see links there to all the show channels. And, of course, if you have some suggestions or input, or if there's a product you'd like to see us review, you can email byb@twit.tv. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us on Before You Buy. And come back soon. We're going to have lots more great products. Just remember, you got to watch Before You Buy. See you later. Bye-bye.